we stand behind what we say.
Nobody pray for me.
It's hard to fake it.
It been out there for me. Yeah.
True talk.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this.
The sky truly is the limit. If we're not helping people, what are we doing? My goal is to have an army of men and women that have bigger bank accounts than any agents in the history of this industry. We just do it the right thing, and let's see where it all works itself out. But I know this. We run it this way, and we went from 0 to 100 million paid within 4 years, life and annuity business annually. And nobody else in our space does that. Nobody.
My left stroke just went viral.
Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high.
It's hard to fake it.
It's levels to it, you and I know.
Nobody else
be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
All right, guys. Thanks for hopping on another podcast or listening or downloading it or however you access them, but we've been very proud of what we've been able to put out, and really trying to be a little different. Actually trying to be a lot different, you know, trying to make sure that we teach and you know, about sales and share and make it as real as you can get. I think that's one of the things nowadays, and we call these podcasts True Talk. And I think as a society, if we did everything we needed to do, we wouldn't have to revel in the fact that we call it True Talk. You know, I think we're always gonna shoot everybody straight here and no fluff, no, just what you see is what you get. So I have a guest on with me, Dominic Rogers, who I've had the pleasure of knowing now for a number of years. I think one of the big things for me is being able to watch people change what they're doing professionally, personally, how it all works itself out. And I'm gonna let Dominique set the stage a little bit and tell his story and how he got to where he joined us. And because one of the things I always say about the life insurance industry, or really anything that you know, anybody could go do, and there, I think there's plenty of things out there that are like this. It's a matter of, you know, ours is the one, I think, that allows you, if you really want to go help people, and that's what's important to you, you can help a lot of people make a bunch of money. But to really look at what the success that, you know, you've been able to have, Dominique, I'd love for you just to share your background leading up to joining Family First Life, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth a little bit, because I think the other thing that we bring to these podcasts, a lot of diversity, you know, age, gender, ethnicity, the whole, I mean, we're a diverse, you know, population. You know, nothing worse for me than, you know, hearing training and it's from the exact same person or persons, and there's no difference, and we kind of, I think it's very small-minded to think somehow society looks the way and acts the way one person or, you know, does. That makes no sense to me. So Don, if you could share with us a little bit about what you were doing and how you found us, and then I'll ask some questions to get rolling.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean, for having me on. It's an honor to be on this True Talk podcast. And after hearing these past few weeks, just where we're going as a company, man, I'm very, very excited. I just turned 31. I got into the industry at 24 years old. I got 23, actually. And then the year turning 24 is my first full year. And I got into the industry just really by chance. I hear some people say sometimes you're at the right place at the right time. And to be honest with you, at that point in time in my life, I was not looking for a job. I wasn't looking for, I wasn't really looking for anything to do. But Marcus Jones, who actually I played baseball with at North Carolina State, he was 3 times as good as I was. And if you're playing, he's really good. Okay. Like really, really good at doing what he at playing ball, and was really just a stand up guy all around. He was my roommate in college, or not in college, but when I did my 5th year, he went off and played pro ball. He got drafted in the 3rd or 4th round for like $300,000-$400,000. And he came back during the offseason and said he was going to start selling life insurance. And for me, he was living the dream. He was doing what I wanted to be doing and what I thought I wanted to be doing. And seeing him, you know, his background, his His mom works for the government. Dad works for Washington Post. They come from a very different background than me. My mom did hair, and that's about where it stops. And so when I saw him doing something outside of playing professional baseball, I was open ears. Do you know what I mean? He said, hey, I'm doing this. I said, okay, what's going on? He got me in touch with Sean. At that point in time, guys, he said, you would be great at this if you care about people and want to help people. At that point in time in my life, I didn't know I cared about clients, the insurance, but I did care about my family. And at 23, 24, that is truly, truly what opened me up. And, you know, I played when I was 19, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And that was my first dose of reality, first dose of baseball ain't going to be here forever, first dose of, hey, you're actually an employee. So when Sean and Marcus told me about the opportunity, I realized that I didn't have a coach that was putting me in, taking me out of the game. It wasn't dependent on my health. It was dependent on, did I want to go out there and work? And when I met Sean, I said, dude, I don't know anything about life insurance. He goes, are you coachable? I said, yep. Why? I said, well, every team I've been on, I've never had any problems with my coaches. I've actually got some team player awards, and you know what I mean? So I'm not the best, but I do get, you know what I mean? I am very open and coachable. He goes, well, if that's the case, I know what I'm doing. If I'll teach you what to do. And I said, I'm open ears. And that's really how I got into the industry, Sean, is by my buddy Marcus. And Marcus is not around anymore. All right? Marcus was around for about a year or so. It just wasn't the right fit for him. But thank God he was open enough to tell me about it and to get me in touch with Sean.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things for me, Dominique, is, you know, is kind of look at what do you, you know, I said to my kids a lot, you know, at the end of the day, when you're, you know, when it's, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, however many years down the road after you've, you know, done what you were doing and, you know, made your mark, I guess, if you will, it's how many people did you make your mark with? You know, I just, people say, when you open the company, what do you want to do? I want to get rich. Now, Dominique, my definition of getting rich is not money. Money will be a byproduct of it. My definition of getting rich was helping as many people as we possibly could have life insurance, but also as many agents as we could to make money. So when I met you, Dominique, I while I didn't know what you did or what you would or wouldn't do, I was 100% sure you cared about people. You know, I think it's like anything else. I'm a big, you know, I listen to the way you talked about your mother and your sisters and you know, how important they were to you and they are to you and the role you felt like you played in their lives and that you still do. And you know, I think it's one of the things too for me is I always just watch people's interaction with others. You know, I'm always interested to see how somebody reacts to somebody they don't benefit from. You know, when somebody, you know, I had a guy the other day, he was telling me how great I am, you know, how great the company is. Well, he benefits by telling me that. He's trying to get something from me. So I'm not mad at him. That's his job. So everything he says doesn't mean anything to me, because it's what he believes he's supposed to. Matter of fact, I think if he was better at his job, he wouldn't be so, you know, wouldn't be full of so much fluff. I think he would just shoot me straight. But I always like to watch people interact with others that, you know, I like to watch you interact with people that were working with us and, but you didn't derive a direct benefit from, or, you know, I think when you start doing that with people, you get a real good gauge on how they are. You know, how are you are you the same with every client? Whether the client's going to be $400 a month or, you know, $47 a month. I'm not big on, you know, writing policies that really don't make any difference in the family's lives. That's not a, you know, that I think anybody can go afford enough life insurance to, because they're doing something and buying something. But Dom, for me, you know, you had that passion for other people. And I think one of the things that you also helped me change my perspective on life insurance sales, because, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you. And when I looked at it, I thought, I wonder who can do this business. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I've been in sales before. You know, I've sold real estate. I sold a lot of different things. So when I saw the leads, I knew I could sell life insurance. But I didn't know how easy it would be for somebody who had no sales experience, let alone the work experience. And you're one of the best I've ever seen at it. You know, you're building an agency now, but when you were out there full time years back, because you genuinely cared about other people. You know, when you Do you remember the first time you had one of your clients that you wrote insurance on that he or she passed away?
Vividly.
Was it male or female?
Male.
And how did that, because I think, you know, we as life insurance agents, there's a lot of professions out there. Maybe you're, you know, in the healthcare field or, you know, I mean, but I don't know how many of them have the direct impact as immediately as we do. You know, there's a tragedy and there we are helping the insurance carrier get everything they need to process, check, and get it sent out to the family. Can you walk us a little bit through what that felt like for you?
Absolutely. I remember it was June 2012. It was about four or five months after I started. And I remember the client's name, Edward Dickerson, passed away. He had a heart attack taking his grandson to school. And final expense lead, went out there, sat down with the client, husband and wife. The wife had a policy that was immediate death benefit in force. They actually were looking for something because she knew her husband's policy was no good. He had one of those graded policies. He had no health problems going on. I got over there. He goes, what are you here for? I'm here for an appointment for your life insurance. We already got it. His wife had to calm him down, tell him that it's okay. Do you know what I mean? He would not go get his policy. She actually went to go get his policy, brought it out, took a look at it. She basically took his arm to sign the application. Okay. He did not want to do it. All right. And then I didn't know that he passed away. This is how I found out he passed away. I'm running 1,000,000 miles per hour. Okay. Didn't know what was going on. And I'm going to another appointment. He died in June. This was July. I'm going to another appointment in July. I show up at the door. The client goes, thank you. I'm like, thank you for what? I think I'm on a hidden camera show. She goes, you're Dominique, right? Yep. Well, you helped my dad out with life insurance about a month ago, or no, about a few months ago, and we got the check because he had a heart attack and he had no problems going on. He was in a graded policy before for no reason, okay, and just got it. And they say, thank you. And I said, wow, this is amazing. They actually, what prompted them to go on the internet and search for more life insurance was because their father died. Now, it brought a lot of things to my perspective. Was just, when I was there sitting down with Edward and his wife, I should have asked them about their family and I could have helped them then. Luckily, by the grace of God, I got their lead, their family's lead, and I was able to help them out again to kind of solidify what was going on. Because to be honest with you guys, I did not know Edward died until I got to his daughter's house and they let me know that he had insurance. And during that whole time, it's running through my brain like, wow, he does live right. I mean, they're right around the corner too. And I'm pretty sure if I was there, the first time I was there, after I helped him out, if I would have, hey, you know, your kid, they definitely would have shot me over there. I would have helped them out. And it's just, it brought a lot of things. And what it did for me, Sean, was it made it real for me. When I said that I was going out there at that point in time, trying to take care of me and my family, as in my mom and my sisters at that point in time, that's all I was focused on. After Edward died, it was about the clients. After Edward died, I was like, I'm doing a lot more than just going out there and some life insurance. And seeing and the way it happened with the family there and them saying thank you, it was just very, very, I was not ready for it. Here I am again at another door just thinking, hey, I'm about to just go in there and sell some policies. And they hit me with a real dose of reality of what we're truly doing out there. So I'll never forget that. Never.
You know, I think that, and it's funny because you got your life insurance license at what age?
23.
23 years old. You know, I think one of the things we've learned, I mean, I'm 45, and one of the hardest life lessons, I think, is if you're at a certain place in your life, you know, especially when you get up to be, you know, 45 years of age, or heck, when I got my license, 35 years of age, and you're not where you want to be financially, and you just put your hands up and say, you know what, I'm not where I want to be. I've got to let go and I got to be willing to listen. And that's a hard thing. I think, yeah, it may be easier for 23-year-olds, maybe not for some 23-year-olds, but any sales position you're in, I don't care what you're selling. If there's somebody there that can sell it, are you willing to just literally just close your mouth, open your ears? And when I say open your ears, it's you have to get rid of all your preconceived notions of what will and won't work. That's hard for people. I remember when your mom got a license, Dominique. I remember vividly her watching you get some awards and and her saying, I said, I looked at her and she just knew I gave her that look like I was going to try to recruit her again. She's like, I'm never doing what he does. And I'm like, how come, Renee? So it's not me. It's just not who I am. It's not what I do. I'm like, you're in a, you know, you're in a, the salon every day, all day, talking to people about all kinds of stuff in their lives. You know, I'm sure if they're heading in the wrong path, you're helping them out. I'm sure if a lady's in a bad relationship, you're telling her how you feel. I'm sure if a guy, I mean, you're just a straight shooter and you care about people. And there, a few years later, she's out writing a couple $100,000 a year. And I think it's, you know, for me, I don't even want to say your mom's my age because she looks half my age. You know what I mean? But like, she just, you know, it's helping people believe in themselves. Because a lot of people hear, I don't care what industry it's in, they hear something and like, well, I don't know a lot about that. Well, hey, by the way, the person that's training you, when they start, they didn't know a lot about it either. I mean, we all, almost like we all forget, we got to start somewhere. And what is the fear of starting over? And if you're not where you want to be, why wouldn't you want to start over? Why would you want to keep, you know, circling where you are now? Wouldn't that be the, and I understand we fight change, but if you're not where you want to be, wouldn't the utopian answer be, let me start over? It's a clean slate. You know, Dom, if you're up there and you're hitting and it's 0-2, wouldn't you like to start over?
Right.
Get bat, no balls, no strikes. I mean, let's clean the slate. You know, this guy's got a pretty nasty slider. He's about ready to throw it. I'm at 0-2. I should have swung at that first fastball. Let me get back to, you know, that clean slate thing. And I really think that, you know, we're trying to find people. And I think part of our job as managers and leaders and with anything is helping people understand if they're not open. You know, when clients aren't listening, we nicely explain to them when they're not listening. If a client's not listening, we don't keep beating our head. We say, listen, Tom, if you know, are you listening to what I'm saying? Because it appears you keep trying to figure out what's on the TV in the other room that neither one of us can see. I'm not, you know, can you give me 11 minutes here to help your family out, bro? I'm not, I mean, by all means, go back, TiVo it, do what you got to do. But right now, it's about helping your family, you know? So for me, it's like, can we just put some time into this, what we're focused on right now, Tom? And I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, building a business, I was talking about that in a meeting the other day. I mean, there are companies out there with hundreds of thousands of agents. And the reason they have hundreds of thousands, I asked a guy, I said, why do you think this company is, it's a, you know, real estate company. He said, I think they're brand. And I said, bro, I was a real estate, I never even heard of them. I think it's the passion with which they recruit. We sell more life insurance, Dominique, than everybody else does because we have passion about it. We're serious about it. We're confident about what we're having to say. We're going to stand up for what's right. And I think that when you, I said this a couple of agents the other day, in the last 3 years, there hasn't been a week you haven't sold. But in the past 3 years, there ain't been many weeks that you've hired. And Marcus Jones is a great example of what this whole thing's about. What this whole thing is about is helping other people out. What this whole thing is about is realizing if I'm a life insurance agent, I'm trying to make a difference. I was a social worker. Could you imagine me not wanting more social workers to help out more kids? Could you imagine me going like, nah, I got it. I mean, I'm making some money. I'm working more overtime. There's, I don't know, 4,600 neglected kids daily in Connecticut. So, hell, I got them all my own. As opposed to, man, anybody to listen to me, come over here and work with us, man. We got kids that need help. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. I mean, it's a job. It wasn't a volunteer job. But we're over here with life insurance. We can't get to all these leads. We can't keep up without a bigger sales force. And yes, you're right. If we go from 600 writing agents a month to 6,000, we're going to do a billion a year in paid volume. I got that. But the bigger deal is we're going to help a lot of families. And I think, Dom, the most humbling thing for me with you is the opportunities you're going to be able to provide your son and, you know, however many other kids you have. But at 23, when you got your license, if you had a kid that next year after that, could you imagine being able to provide for him the way you're able to now?
No, not at all. I couldn't have.
Like, you think about how much money did you make in 2017?
17, it was just over $700,000.
$700,000 is a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you kind of talk about being the third or fourth round draft pick, you get a signing bonus, the government takes half, your agent takes another 25%, this person takes away. I'm not mad at him. I'm pulling for everybody. I'm just saying, like, real money you get to keep. And in 18, it's realistic you could make $1 million.
Absolutely.
You get a 1099, you get 1099 $1 million. And can you explain to me what that means for you, your family, your sisters, your nieces, nephews, your mom, that kind of deal, as we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, and if at 23, 24, if you would have asked me if I was going to have, you know, kids, be married, I would have said no. There would have been no shot. And what I see this thing doing for us is, you know, when Sean talks about, you know, you're running this thing for, you know, to the money. And I really, truly see this thing as we're going to build this thing. Leaving a legacy didn't make sense before KM came, before my son came. It sounded good. It sounded like, you know, that's what, just what people do. And but I wasn't left one. It's like when my grandfather died, I got a watch. It's what it was. And you know what I mean? I love the watch. I will keep the watch forever, but it's what I got. When I pass away, it's not going to be a watch. It's going to be, it's not about the money. It's about what they're going to be able to, how they're going to be able to live. You know what I mean? My mom's 53 years old. It's for her to not have to go out there and sell life insurance. It's a blessing for me. For my wife to be able to stay home and raise our son and not have to go back out and deal with, you know, kids with autism is a blessing. So those things, I never thought that would be my driving, that would be my drive. And if that is it, it will never stop. Because if it's Cam, Erica, it's going to be their kid. It's going to be his kids. It's never going to stop. I got nephews. It's so much bigger than it was for me. And that's why at 23, 24, 25, if that would have happened, I wasn't over me yet. It just wasn't. And there's some people on this call right now. You may be right there. And hopefully this will help you see it. And you know what I mean? But it's everything's time. I know, Sean, I know you saw at 24, 25 what... You had the answer, but I wasn't ready. And I think that everybody has their time. And I think that you you put the work in and you see this thing for not what it is today. Okay. But truly, if you're working with somebody like Sean, you helped me. You helped me see what it could be. You helped me want to be a father. I didn't want to. I remember you left me with T and Savannah and Cayman Islands. And I was like, you kidding me? Like, okay. Do you know what I mean? And that right there, that I'll never forget that half a day. Like that half a day let me go, you know what? It's pretty cool. Like, actually, yeah, I can do this. And yes, and you know, Sunday I had my first full day with my son by myself. And I was like, you know what? Thank God Sean left me. Do you know what I mean? Now they weren't 3 weeks old, but God, I mean, it really helped. There's a lot more than this than just selling life insurance is what I'm trying to say. And I think that if you open yourself up to not only just going out there and making the most for your family financially, but be the best person you can be and get around people that are where you want to be, then the sky's true to the limit. So I believe that in 2018, we will make well over $1 million. There will be people who we're working with who will make over $500,000, if not $1 million. Conrad, you know what I mean? There's just a number. That's what I'm excited about. Do you know what I mean? There are new agents coming on right now that are going, you know what? I wonder if I can do it too. And I'm like, this is 7 years for me. And there's people like Mickey Taylor who's been around a year or so about doing the same thing. So you go, well, what you're doing is so great. No. Everybody who's coming on right now, this is, you guys got the fast track and just really lay it down and see it fast. I see Rio. I was out with Rio out in Detroit. He just went full time with us. He goes, I'm doing what Mark Mead did. I'm lighting myself on fire. 4 years, this is what I'm doing. I got no doubt that he's going to do it. And it's because people in our company have done it, and it's going to just keep on being a ripple effect. So if you think it's going to be, you know, a long process for you to get somewhere, you got it mistaken. Okay, it could happen right now for you if you're open to it. It's all yours, Sean.
Well, I think, Dom, too. I think, you know, people have always some interest in being a social worker. I'm like, yeah, I could only do so much social work. Think about how much you and Erica can do because her passion lies with autistic kids. How much you can do with the money you make. I mean, again, not that she wasn't awesome what she did, but, you know, the things that people are trying to do and accomplish and cures are looking for and treatments are looking for and services are looking for, that all comes at the expense of having money, you know. And I think that's a big part of it, too, Dom. I vividly remember that, too, because I leave very few people with my kids. But I just knew you had a good heart and you'd do everything to make sure they were safe, you know. So I appreciate your time, buddy. I'm sure this will help a lot of people out, and you know, experience, no experience, no work experience, some work experience, wherever you come from in life, whatever your education is or your experience is, if you're willing to learn and you got the right attitude and the right activity, you can go make $1 million. You can certainly do it selling life insurance. You know, and I'm 100% sure we can show you how to do that if that's where your passion lies. So appreciate it, Dom. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Know who I be. I be the truth when I speak, sell,